Tomorrow will be the official day of 4th of July, also referred to as Independence Day. History reveals that there were 13 colonies back in late 1700s that entered into a revolution with Great Britain. Revolutionary War was what that conflict was called. The main issues were regarding religious freedom and also taxation without representation, among some other things. But the colonists were spurred to revolt against the rule of Great Britain. On July the 2nd, the delegates of the Continental Congress representing the 13 colonies voted unanimously to declare independence from Great Britain. 2 days later, on 4th of July, 1776, which is 240 years ago, those delegates signed a document that we now know as the Declaration of Independence. I'm going to take a side note here. The Declaration of Independence, the original Declaration of Independence, was written in cursive. Our young people today are not being taught cursive to read it or write it. And what a shame it is that many of them won't be able to read the original document of the Declaration of Independence. It also comes as no surprise that laws and things that are being introduced into society today in this nation can be done so because of the ignorance of the population who do not know even what the Declaration says. And so, having said that, that's my political statement for the morning. But these 13 colonies eventually became the 50 United States of America, and as a result, we continue to celebrate independence that was secured some 240 years ago, and we should celebrate. There are things to be grateful for. We've been a solid leader in this world for those 240 years. We've been the mightiest nation in the free world. God has indeed poured His blessing upon us in that regard. We have always represented good and integrity over the centuries. We have been looked to from the other nations for help and support. We have often served as police of the world to help nations secure and maintain their independence and freedom as well. We have a very rich history of which to be proud and to be grateful to be a part of. I'm an American because I'm privileged to have been born in this nation. I could have been born anywhere else, and God allowed me to be born here. And I praise the Lord for that. I'm grateful that the founding fathers were God-fearing men, sought the wisdom of the sovereign God in order to form this nation. That's the reason that she had been blessed and protected over the centuries in her existence. And while there are many concerns regarding the morality and integrity of the nation in these days, she is still one of the greatest in the world. People from other nations flock to her to find freedom and to find a way of life that is different from what they're experiencing. But freedom always comes at a price. Freedom always costs something, and millions through the centuries have laid down their lives to serve this nation, to make sure that children and generations to come would continue to have a place to live where they would be free. God's main concern is that we be a light to the world. And while that pursuit might currently be in question, the good news is that there is a kingdom that supersedes this earthly nation. And in order to be citizens of that kingdom, one has to declare dependence rather than independence. And we're going to talk about that this morning. I'd invite you to join me in Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 1 and then going to jump to verse 16 and go through verse 26. We're going to stand together as we read these words. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, the Apostle Paul wrote, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Verse 16, he continues, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Father, as we humble our hearts before you this morning, we pray for insight from your Spirit. Lord God, lead us and help us to hear you as you speak into our lives. We pray these things to your glory in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul, in writing this letter to Galatians, is writing a letter because he had concerns about this particular church. There were many in the church, the report had gotten back to him, that were going back to the law. They had experienced the grace of salvation, and some had come in and poisoned their minds that they need to get back to the law. They need to observe the things of the law, the Mosaic law. And as a result, they were casting grace aside. Paul put it that way. They were throwing aside grace. And if you throw aside grace, you have to live by the law. And if you can't live by the law, then you have to die by that law. And no one can keep the law perfectly. That's why the Lord sent Jesus. Because we needed a Savior, someone to help us. We were in need. There was no way for us to be perfect. We needed a righteous, perfect substitute to come and take our place. And Jesus did that satisfactorily. The Lord accepted his sacrifice, raised him back up to life. And for all who believe upon him, they receive righteousness that's not theirs, but is Christ's alone, applied to their lives. But when we begin to go back to follow the law, we cast aside this gift of grace. We begin to live by the law again. There were many in this congregation that were falling into that kind of error. And so the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to address that kind of error. And again he spoke to them about leaving aside that which had enslaved them, that sin that held them, and it was vanity for them to try and live according to the law because they would never be able to do that. What this means is that they chose, some, to live independently of God, to live according to their own dictates, to make the choice to live independently from God's plan of salvation. And so as Paul neared the end of this letter, he makes a plea with this congregation to realize that freedom, real freedom, is only found in dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not independence from him so that we may live freely and do whatever our flesh desires, but to live dependent completely upon Christ Jesus himself. I know that we could probably spend some time looking at some of these characteristics of those who live in the flesh. If you go to verse 17, we're going to jump to verse 19 in a moment, but verse 17, the Apostle Paul writes that the flesh sets its desire upon the things of that are against the Spirit, the things that are ungodly. They're in opposition to one another. And the deeds of the flesh, verse 19, become evident in that. There's immorality, sexual immorality, and physical immorality, and emotional immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, putting something else up as God in your life. And that can be your family, that can be your job, that can be anything that you hold as dear as anything else in the world. If you put it in the place of God, you have committed idolatry. This word sorcery, we might think, well, it's witchcraft. There, I don't know any witches, but let me tell you, sorcery can also refer to any mind-altering substances. Drugs and alcohol comes from a root word, pharmaceia, where we get pharmaceuticals or pharmacies, and that's referring to drugs. So if you commit yourself to some kind of mind-altering thing to escape from the reality of life, then you're committing this sin of sorcery. He goes on to say, enmities and strife and jealousies, outbursts of anger. This is not being able to control emotions inside of us regarding other people, and we get angry. Jesus said, if you're angry with someone, you're guilty of murder. There are factions, these divisions within the body of Christ, dissensions and faction. Factions can be error. If there's heresies going on, then you're committing factions. Envying, looking to what others have and wishing it was yours, that leads to covetousness, drunkenness, and carousing. And these things I forewarn you, just as I have before, that those who practice these kind of things do not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's key that we think about this word, practice these things. You make it a lifestyle, it is your life. You can't inherit the kingdom of God if this is what takes over your life. The Apostle Paul becomes very clear. When we live independent of God, we will yield to the desires of the flesh. And the desires of the flesh will lead to this kind of activity in life. Lead to those things that separate us from following the Spirit of God and just giving in to my wants and desires, emotional, physically, even spiritually. To do things the way I want to do them, to meet my needs so that I'm happy and feel good. That's what society is calling that we ought to be striving for today. Why do you think people are falling off the edge and going after these crazy kind of abominations? It's because they are following after the flesh. They're doing what feels good or what they imagine is going on inside themselves, and so they have to follow hard after that instead of listening to a voice of reason, a voice of truth, and a standard that will say, no, don't go there, hold on. That's to live independently from God when you don't listen to the Lord speak. It is to be independent. And while it's good for our nation to be independent, it's not good for us as humankind to be independent of God. The Apostle Paul writes about this because those who are going back after the law are following after the flesh. They're going after what they know has been set up for years, following tradition, following that which is reasonable in the mind. There's a set, there's a rule, a set of rules that I can follow, rather than following after the voice of the Spirit connected to a standard of truth that God gives to mankind. For those who practice these things, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. I remember in the days when I was without Christ, I followed after many of these in this list. And I think if we were honest and we looked inside ourselves and we examined ourselves in comparison to this list, we would agree. We have followed after some of these things. The Apostle Paul saying, you used to live this way, you don't anymore. The Spirit has come in, He's changed, He's made you a different being. I remember in those days when I practiced these kind of things, I felt so free. Nobody could stop me. Man, I finally get to participate in this stuff. I'm free. No one's telling me what to do. Nobody can hold me back. I'm able to go. I'm free. But I can't tell you how miserable I was in that kind of lifestyle. And those who will be honest with themselves who participated in this kind of lifestyle, perhaps you still are, you aren't happy. You're miserable. Because the little satisfaction you get is only temporary. It doesn't last. In fact, when all of the dullness wears off and you get back to reality, you're right back where you started from and you're miserable. That's not freedom at all. You might call it independence, you might call it freedom, but you're really a slave to the impulses of the flesh. Slave to sin, the Apostle Paul calls it in a couple of his letters. But when the gospel of truth is made known and the Holy Spirit accompanies that truth and begins to penetrate the life, then conviction begins to set in. And in my conversion experience, these things that I thought I was free in, when the Spirit and the truth finally came and encountered my heart, and I began to have the scales fall off of my eyes, began to see that real freedom was found on the other side. It was found when the Spirit of God was allowed to come in and to dominate me. When I became a slave to righteousness, that's when I found incredible freedom. I finally was able to leave slavery to sin behind, my independence behind, so that I could become dependent upon a force that would come and live inside of me and would guarantee me and seal me for the day of eternal life. When that new Spirit came to dwell within, those old things began to finally start rubbing off and weren't quite so exciting anymore. I began to feel conviction over sin. I began to understand what was right and what was wrong. I began to fully discern that judgment had already taken place on the devil, and he could not control me anymore unless I yielded myself to him, as he's already been ultimately whipped. That's why I encourage you, come as we study the Revelation record together. We see the victory that God has won through Christ Jesus, and we have it as heirs of Christ if we will embrace him. The Apostle Paul writes here that these things keep us from entering into the kingdom of God if we insist upon practicing them. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, when the Spirit does come in, when a man is yielded and surrenders himself to be a slave to righteousness, the Spirit brings love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or meekness, and self-control. I think self-control, that last fruit, kind of wraps everything else up in itself. If I exercise self-control, I'm going to love the way God wants me to love, and I'm going to have the kind of joy God wants me to love, and I'm going to have peace in all things, even when circumstances are bad, because I'm exercising self-control. I'm going to know how to be patient in all things. And I'll tell you, traffic is my nemesis. I work with people. People can be tough, but traffic is my nemesis, and the Lord has really been working on that, because going in Friday was our anniversary, and we were driving to Victoria, and people were having wrecks on the road. I don't know what was wrong with them, and traffic was piled up both ways. And somehow the Lord allowed me to just kind of say, oh, well, that's the way it goes sometimes. He's working on me. Got a long way to go, man, but he's working on me. Praise the Lord. It's in there. Thank goodness the Spirit's in there. He's working on me. I praise the Lord that it's a process. Paul went on to write, those who belong to Christ, verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The Roman form of execution in the way of the crucifixion was supposed to be long and agonizing and excruciating. It was supposed to take a lot of time. In the case of Jesus' death on that day, he was sacrificed on that day of the preparation. And the next day was Sabbath, and they could not, according to their law, have someone hanging on the cross as they entered into Sabbath. And so the Roman soldiers went and broke the legs of the thieves. When they got to Christ, he was already dead. That was an act of the Savior himself committing his spirit to the Father and giving himself up in those hours. But normally a Roman crucifixion would take hours, sometimes days, to accomplish its purpose. And in agony, the person would continue to fight before they'd finally suffocate. And I'm telling you all this to say that while that person was crucified, they couldn't control their hands and their feet. Listen, a believer, as he's crucifying the flesh, the believer's not dead in the flesh immediately. The flesh is being killed every single day. Now, some things disappear quickly. With me, my language changed because the Lord was getting ready to make me a preacher at some point in the future. I didn't realize that, but he took away the curse words. He took away some of those tendencies. Other things were still there. It's kind of like having your hands and your feet tied up. Well, those thieves could no longer go out and steal. They couldn't kill. They couldn't destroy anything because their hands and feet were tied up. Well, let me tell you, their tongues still worked because they mocked and ridiculed Christ as he was hanging there between them. There are still some things inside each of you and I as believers that we're crucifying that still have to be killed and die off. That's the process of sanctification. Yes, you've been justified in Christ. You've been made right with Christ. The righteousness of Christ has come upon you as he's taken your sin, but you're still in the process of being made into the image of Christ, and so there's some things that are having to be killed off, and that process of crucifixion is killing those things off. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Listen, you're becoming a super Christian, and being perfect doesn't take place in your lifetime. Doesn't take place until you face Christ. You're continuing to be a work in progress. Your flesh is being crucified. But there should be progress. And I'm going to stop right there. This is not my notes. If you're not noticing progress in your walk with the Lord, that your thinking processes are beginning to become more Christ-like, and that your speaking is not becoming more Christ-like, and your deeds are not becoming more Christ-like, you need to do a self-examination. You need to repent, because we should always be growing into the image of Christ, crucifying the flesh, killing off that which is keeping us from advancing. There should always be an advancement. The Apostle Paul says here, those who belong to Christ, that is, those who have yielded to Him, those who have His mark upon them, His Spirit inside of them, have crucified that flesh with the passions and desires. Listen, the psalmist was right in chapter 37, verse 4, where he said, Lord, give me the desires of my heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Do you know that your desires are His desires when you're right with Him? Your desires become His. The very prayer Jesus taught His disciples to pray, that model prayer we call the Lord's Prayer, He said in that prayer, Lord, let Your will be done on earth as it's already been done in heaven. Do you know that the Lord's will on earth is for us to have the mind of Christ, to think the way He thinks, to walk in the Spirit? That's His desire. It's His will that's been established in heaven as children of God to be established in this earth. There should be advancement. The flesh is being crucified. The passions and the desires that I'm having are to be transforming, becoming morphed out of what I used to be into what He wants me to be. And there are going to be times in between there when we're going to be pretty ugly people. But He's doing a work. But only if we're dependent on this Spirit. If we continue to be independent from this Spirit and to only depend upon ourselves, we're going to find trouble, and this transfer of character will not take place. Verse 1, when the Apostle Paul said, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Keep standing firm. Don't become subject again to a yoke of slavery. The tendency is to get tired after a while, and to think, Lord, why are You taking so long? I read this morning, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, 1,000 years like a day. And the Lord tarries, and the only reason He's tarrying is not to make you miserable. The Lord's tarrying because there are many more who have yet to bow their knee before Him, and He may be wanting to use you as an instrument of getting that done. Man, I've prayed, and selfishly so, many times, oh Lord, come quickly, because VBS was coming. Or some horrific, some kind of ministry that was going to take a whole lot of my energy, and I'm thinking, oh Lord, if You just come first, I won't have to do that. But that is so selfish. When we think about the souls that have yet to come to know Him and have not. While I struggle to want to go be in glory, I also want to be sure that everybody who's supposed to be marked by Christ will have that done before Christ comes in the clouds of the sky. That was a struggle the Apostle Paul had in Philippians. He said, oh, I want to go, but I got to stay here for Your sakes. I got to stay here for the sake of those who hadn't heard. I long to go. It'd be better for me to go, be absent from this body, be present with Christ, but I can't do it yet. That's 2 Corinthians where he says that. It's a struggle for a true believer. This is a struggle. But to know in the meantime, the flesh is being crucified. I'm being made into the image of the Lord as long as I'm depending on Him. And that's what the Apostle Paul says here in these next to last verses. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. I don't know about you, but the only way I ever came to life was by the Spirit of God coming into my heart. Outside of that, I was a dead man walking. I thought I had life. I thought I was being free. I thought I was enjoying things and having satisfaction. But none of it was reality until the life of God through the Christ Spirit came into my heart. And so I live by the Spirit. If you've been converted, you live by the Spirit. If you then live by that Spirit, then walk in Him. Walk with that Spirit. How sad it is that we come and say, oh, I got my life insurance. I stood before the church. I made my proclamation. I got baptized and then live like the devil the rest of your days. You're not fooling anybody but yourself. It's not enough to go through these rituals. But it is everything to daily and moment by moment walk with Him. And let Him lead you and be dependent upon that Spirit moment by moment by moment. I don't know about you. I stand here as a leader of a church, and I'm terrified to stand up in this pulpit on some Sundays when I know that I have not been dependent on the Spirit every moment of every day leading up to that Sunday. Am I adequate to the task? Is the Spirit going to be able to use me? And you know what? In spite of me, He does. And I'm grateful for that. This is hard stuff. This is not easy, but it's what we're called to. It's to depend upon Him every moment of every day. And that's why in verse 26, I think there's a couple of applications here. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. You start walking in the Spirit and you start getting your act together, be careful where and how you brag about it. Because I'm going to tell you this, if the Apostle Paul said, I've not yet gotten hold of it, but I'm getting there. And he said, I've run the race, I've fought the fight, I've stayed the course, kept the faith, but he hadn't yet gotten it. How dare any of us say, I got it? We can't boast in anything. The Apostle Paul said, I boast in nothing but Christ and Him crucified. Because I'm remembering, while He was crucified, I am daily being crucified. So I can't boast in that. Neither let me challenge one another. And this may sound contradictory. At the end, I'm going to challenge us. But this challenging one another is reference to saying, well, I'm something and you're not. Why can't you be like me? I would never stand in this pulpit and tell you, be like Brother Robert. Please don't. Be like Jesus. Follow Him. There was a time in my early walk as a believer and knowing that I was called to preach that I wanted to be like Chuck Swindoll. I wanted to be able to speak eloquently and to be able to paint pictures with my words. I've thus found out that's not me. It's not going to happen. I thought maybe I'll be like John MacArthur and be able to have depth of theology and be able to make those applications and be a great expository preacher. I've found out I'm not a great theologian. God chose Robert Kraus to be Robert Kraus, a vessel used by His Spirit for a particular ministry at particular points of time for His glory. However that turns out, I don't want to encourage any one of you to be like Robert. I want you to be like Jesus. That's who I want to point to. I want to be like John the Baptist in that regard. I decrease, He increases. Go to Him. Go follow Him. My feelings won't be hurt. You want to be baptized by Him? Go be baptized by Him. That's where you need to be. Be careful challenging each other. Be like me. And also, don't envy one another. God forbid we should ever say, ooh, that person really walks with the Lord. I want to be like them. You know what? There are some great people in this congregation. There are some great people I've known over the years. But I'm not supposed to envy being like them. I'm supposed to strive to be like my Christ, who is making me into His image. It's not that hard if we depend on Him. We work so hard to try and be holy and good. You know what? It's not in us until Christ comes in. And Him in us is what makes us like Him, the design that He has put together. Doesn't mean we can't admire the ministries, we can't admire the work and the service of those around us and those that have gone before us. God put them in the body just as it pleased Him, and we ought to be grateful for that. But as we're thinking about being alive because of the Spirit and walking by the Spirit, let's strive to be like Christ. And that's my challenge to you this morning. There are some in this place, you have trusted Christ, you've done the walk the aisle thing, you've been baptized, you've been raised to eternal life. Well, let me tell you this, Jesus is the one God sent. Jesus is the one who stayed sinless. Jesus is the one who died for you. Jesus is the one who's been raised to eternal life. Jesus is the one that's assigned to come again and get us and bring us, be with Him in glory. And Jesus is the one who has ultimately defeated the devil. And it's recorded in Scriptures that it's so. That's the one we need to depend on. And when we come to a true understanding of Dependence Day rather than Independence Day, and we trust in Him and take advantage, and I don't mean in a wrong way, but take advantage of the Spirit He's placed inside of us, then the world will begin to see God speaking. I'm afraid the church has been silent through the years because she's not walked with the Spirit. Even though she's been given life by the Spirit, she's not walked in the Spirit. Let us be a generation that changes that. The Lord knows our world needs it. Should there be anybody in this place, you've never entrusted your life to Christ. Maybe you're still living independently of Him. Maybe you're still doing your own thing and you think you're finding satisfaction in it. I challenge you to listen to the Spirit of God speak into your hearts. And if He is, you'll know it because you'll be stirred up inside. It's not just a decision we make. It's Christ coming in and challenging who we are, bringing Himself to light so that we can respond to Him. Maybe this morning someone will experience independence from yourself, dependence upon Jesus as your Lord and Master, experiencing the Spirit coming in and transforming you. That's Dependence Day. And that's what we all need to have every day. Let's pray together. Gracious God in heaven, I thank You that You've been faithful to work in spite of this messenger, and Father, that You are in our midst. That's what it takes for us to hear You. That's what it takes for us to experience You and then to respond to You. You give us this part of our experience in worship to now respond. Lord God, I ask that You move us from where we are to where You need us to be. Thank You, Father, as we depend upon You, that You guide us. Thank You that You've given us the hope that if we hide Your word in our heart, we'll not sin against You. Thank You, Father, that You call us to allow the depths of the riches of Christ to come and dwell within our hearts so that we can think on these things and by the transforming and renewing of our minds, Father, become more like You. May we see that happen for Your name's sake, and then, Father God, so that Your purposes are accomplished in this world as You desire to use us. In the name of our Savior Jesus, our obedient brother, we pray. Amen.